It's Monday, February 27th, 2011, and this is episode 57 of Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy. This is Jeremy.
This is Jeff.
We are actually starting out on a more somber note today.
Yes.
We are going to have, of course, upcoming stories on Restaurant Week, which started today, and other things, you know, happening around Cleveland towards the end of the show, the usual banter, making fun of each other and ourselves. But we couldn't really call ourselves a Cleveland podcast if we didn't start off the show by talking about the biggest news story of the day, which is the tragedy that happened this morning at Chardon High School. So early this morning, five students were shot in the cafeteria this morning, allegedly by 17-year-old Thomas T.J. Lane. One of the victims later died. Two are in critical condition, and another is in serious condition. A fifth is in stable condition. And another student actually had his ear just grazed by a bullet. So when he said the shooter was just feet away from him, and I saw on the news, it looked like the top of his ear was singed. I mean, that's how close he came to, like, tragedy right there. So, yeah, I know that. Now, you worked today, as did I. How did you first hear about this?
Driving to work. It was all over the radio morning radio shows.
Okay.
They pretty much all broke at about the same time.
Okay. Now, I was already at work. I actually got into work a little early today, but was just doing, you know, my thing, and then I heard somebody come in like, "Oh, did you hear about the shooting?" And it was just kind of one of those things, like, overheard, and right away went to, I can't remember if I went to the social media. I think I heard about it, and as soon as I heard about it, I went to, like, cleveland.com to, like, read up on it, and then actually did a search on Twitter. I had my tweet deck where you can have different, you can search for different things and have different columns on your screen with feeds of all the stuff that's going on. And so I had a column. They had Chardon shooting as a hashtag, Chardon as a hashtag, and just seeing all these, like, tweets pour in, and it was crazy. Like, every time there was, like, a new piece of information, all the tweets coming up were all, like, saying the same thing. So it was kind of weird, just kind of like a surreal thing with how you just saw these tweets happening in basically real time as soon as people were hearing things. And then everyone was repeating what everyone else was saying. So, like, WKYC, they would put out a tweet with, like, a news update. And let's say they sent one at, you know, 8 o'clock, 8:05, 8:10, people still might be retweeting the 8 o'clock one, even though there had been, like, an update. So it showed, like, social media was really good for getting the information out there, but as far as getting it in, like, your most accurate format, like, what's the most up to date information?
There was too much clutter, almost. Yeah. The correct information was out there quickly, but just you couldn't necessarily filter it within the next breaking update. If that makes sense. It was just, but it was out there almost too quickly. You know, first you said there were two gunmen. That was going around for a while. Mm-hmm. It's just, you could just tell that there's information when it comes out, it's just so hurriedly rushed out to the public without really having a chance to verify anything.
Yeah.
So it kind of becomes, you see, like, the behind the scenes of how the news works, and then they slowly start filtering it. As time goes on, the information becomes more crisp and accurate and more filtered.
Yeah.
I guess that's the best way to describe it. Whereas you see it very raw early on. You hear bits and pieces that are automatically disseminated to us, which normally wouldn't be.
Mm-hmm. And I had some of the creepy things were that, like, I actually saw on Twitter much before the news outlets heard about it, or at least were able to verify it, because typically, you know, news stations want to verify their sources. You know, they don't want to just take one guy's word for it. They want to verify it with a different source, which is a good practice.
Yes.
Oftentimes on Twitter, that does not happen. So there was actually cases where people were, like, on Twitter and saying, like, "Oh, my uncle's a cop, and he says one of the victims already died." And that actually hit Twitter long before it was made, you know, official on the news station. So I was actually, my wife's a teacher in Mayfield. So, like, she, you know, obviously when a school on the east side, you know, something like this happens, like, all other schools, a lot of the teachers that she teaches with, a lot of them live in Chardon. And, you know, they had this one teacher had a student or had one of her kids was a student at Chardon, you know, and it's just crazy how that happened. So I actually was texting her, you know, updates as I was seeing them on Twitter and the news, because it was easier for me to go on the computer than it was for her. One of the things that had gone out was there was a blog, Steve Huff, WordPress.com, doing Huff's Weird News. He was posting some things, and he was updating his page throughout the day. It started off with a CBS news reporter that he found out was asking people on Twitter, the handles of people that were supposedly students, "Hey, does this TJ Lane, does he go to your school?" At like to just try to verify that through Twitter as a reporter. And then they found a picture of a guy with two guns holding them towards the camera, and had up a sign that some people took as, like, you couldn't really see what it said, but some people decoded it as, oh, it looked like yesterday's date, saying something about Chardon High School. So I actually retweeted that. That was actually one of my tweets that I said, oh, here's photo of alleged Chardon shooting suspect. Because at the time, they hadn't even mentioned his name. They hadn't done anything out there. I linked to this guy's blog. Well, a lot of people like ended up retweeting mine. Like, my post got retweeted about a dozen times. 900 people actually clicked on my link that then linked to that guy's blog. But it ended up not being correct. Like, it ended up being somebody just got their facts wrong, and somebody, again, heard a rumor. And when you have something like that going on, you could post any rumor, like, oh, I heard this, and people are going to start retweeting, and it's going to start building.
And the rush to break news,
Yep. So when something like this is going on, you want to make sure that you are always verifying it with what you consider to be a trusted news source, not just people you're following on Twitter.
Yep.
But yeah, a crazy story, and it makes the suspect, this TJ Lane guy, has supposedly turned himself into police. He was chased out of from the reports we're hearing, chased out of the school by a teacher, and then he was later arrested, or essentially turned himself in. I guess, you know, from the stories that I had heard, again, don't quote me, don't take Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy as a legitimate news source. This is just based on things that were. That we're hearing, that he had turned himself in to someone he ran into on the street, something like that, and then the police came and arrested him, supposedly without incident. But what makes a guy go off the edge? Like,
I mean, that's $1 million question, and I just have to think that, you know, you feel bad. Obviously, you feel horrible for everyone involved, the victims, the families, but you also feel bad for the family of this guy, the alleged murderer, I guess is what he is now, as far as this believe. You feel bad for the parents, because imagine how they feel. And I mean, you feel horrible for everyone involved in this, but, you know, I'm sure the parents, they could have done everything right. You know, people may automatically assume, oh, these parents must have screwed up.
Some of the grandparents, actually.
Or grandparents, okay. Yeah, yeah. But then you feel bad for them. I mean, even more so.
Yep.
You know, it's just some people, I feel like they're just wired differently. You could have the best parents, the best grandparents. I don't know. I just tend to think that people sometimes are just wired, and they just sometimes snap.
Yeah, the guy that got grazed in the ear was saying that he used to be friends with this kid, like, in grade school. And then when they went to high school, you know, he said he started getting into more of the goth scene and just kind of started becoming more of a loner. Kind of when we hear about things like this, there seems to be that common thread. Not that everyone's a loner is going to do this. I was somewhat of a loner, you know, in school. But when somebody does do this, it seems like they tend to fit that same criteria.
Yeah.
As a loner, people, there were stories about, you know, was he bullied, people picking on him, that type of thing.
The bullying is another theme. You're right. The loner being bullied, and you can see they maybe just get isolated, and they start sort of maybe internalizing feelings of, you know, I'm going to get these guys someday. And, you know, one out of a million acts on it. And then you get, unfortunately, the person who acts on it, there's, you know, and it's funny, because if you look at what's going on in government lately, and I think even like the Obama administration has kind of made a point to talk about bullying, and how, you know, they need to be proactive things in school to stop bullying and to deal with bullying, counseling, things like that, and just a proactive approach to bullying. Wasn't that kind of funny, though? In the last couple of years, you've heard that. Not funny. Isn't that kind of interesting that you've heard that recently? And because I feel like every year or so, there's one of these things going on in the country. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the first time in Ohio since 07, but it's even happened in Ohio. Gun violence at the schools even happened here in the last 5 years. So I think that that will only help the national dialogue about, you know, doing something to deal with the situation, because bullying is just a horrible, horrible situation.
Yeah.
So I'm glad there's a dialogue.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of times, I mean, because I was picked on as a kid, you know, in grade school.
Everyone is to a point. Some right. just get it so much more than others.
Exactly. And I feel like even when, you know, if you're being picked on for something, you don't want to go to your parents. You don't want to say anything.
Yeah.
And I've witnessed, I think, you know, growing up, some teachers were more apprehensive about, like, or didn't believe somebody that was saying, like, oh, they're getting picked on. Because everyone gets picked on, and it's how do you divide that? You know, you don't want to, you know what I mean? Like, that's part of growing up and learning to handle that. So I would imagine, like, as a teacher, you don't want to step in, like, every little thing, you know, like, oh, Jeremy just touched me on the shoulder. Yeah. Oh, Jeremy, stop. You know, because then the kid's just going to do it again. And how do you balance that and know when it's getting to a point where, you know, like you said, like it's super severe and it's getting beyond the point of just the typical picking on as a kid that you know, that's kind of how you learn and develop your skills in dealing with that. That's kind of a good lesson. But when it crosses the line, I don't know how you figure out what that point is.
Yeah, and I think you can hurt yourself. You know, you've seen the suicide and people getting picked on. For example, people that are younger that might be gay or that necessarily haven't come out as gay, but, you know, you hear about kids getting picked up for that, and then, you know, suicide sometimes happens because of bullying, because of that, and it can go one of two ways. So it's horrible. But all I could say is there's this dialogue and discourse has to continue, and whether it's maybe some sort of, do you think someday they could ever do like a public schools, like mandatory type of counseling, even just like a screening for everyone, like as part of a general, like this talk to someone that you have to at least have one type of session, maybe? I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, I guess if, I think that people that are bullied don't want to talk about it because they don't want to go like outside the norm and have to do this thing.
Whereas, then they get bullied even more, which kind of makes sense. I can understand that thought process.
Yeah.
But that's why, what if you make it like a mandatory? Everyone has to have one sit down a year.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So you go into a room and you're like, oh, well, everyone in class has to do this. And then, you know, kind of when you're in there, I could say something now and maybe feel a little more comfortable because it doesn't seem like, hey, I saw Jeff in the principal's office after school. Jeff, why were you in there? What were you doing?
Right.
You know, and, big tragedy today at Chardon High School. And I wonder too, with the alleged shooter is now in police custody, supposedly cooperating with police. And so not only did he, you know, end the life of at least one person, again, two are still in critical and, another's in serious and one in stable. Not only did he impact their lives, he impacted his own in that, I mean, if all these things are true, which, again, when there's that situation, that many witnesses and that type of thing, like, this guy's going away for a long time. Like, you destroy your own life, too. And I guess you're not thinking that, obviously, when you're doing that, because, you know, even if he's bullied, he might be thinking, like, I don't have any friends, I'm getting picked on, whatever the case may be. But then the alternative, spending 20 years in prison? Like, do you think of that, or do you just not think that far?
I think it goes back to when you internalize, it's a culmination, I think, of so many episodes of being bullied, of feeling maybe not as worthy, feeling other people are better, they think they're better than you, and just, I think when you internalize all that over so many years of getting picked on, I think it just, without dealing with it as it goes on, I think it just builds and builds and builds. I can only imagine. I mean, I can only assume that that's something that happens because of the internalizing. And then it's the old snap, like just someone's just snaps and they're not thinking about anything logically because it's all emotion.
Yep. Well, you and I do not have kids yet, but I can imagine for these parents, like when they got there's a reverse 911 system in Chardon. So if there's an emergency, they can press a button and like all parents are notified at whatever number they leave, their work number, whatever. So, you know, these parents all got this call and then come to the school, because you know you're thinking like it's my kid. My kid got shot. Oh, what if it's my kid? And until you hear from them like that they were safe. Now, a lot of the students too, I heard they had to put their it's typical practice. You can't bring your phone to class and stuff with you. You have to keep in your locker. So a lot of these kids, right when it happened, they didn't have access to their phones to like tell mom and dad like I'm okay. Some of them were able to later, but just as a parent, that's got to be like an insane type of type feeling.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for a few parents, like the nightmare did come true. And then for others, you know, they still had to go through that pain. But fortunately, there was like a little bit of a relief when they found at least their kids, you know, okay. So the superintendent from Chardon High School did a press conference, and he said, you know, now is the time to hug your kids, tell them you love them. If you haven't done that lately, today might be a good day to do that.
So. And I got to say one more thing. I thought the people on the radio this morning, as they were breaking this news, did a great job of explaining to parents who might be listening. Your first instinct is to rush down to the school, but there's 1,100 students down there, and they need to keep the roads clear for the people that are hurt and injured and need medical attention. So you've got to go against your instinct, and you've got to wait. Mm-hmm. Don't try and drive down there. It's only going to make it worse. Yeah. I think people did, by and large, listen to that, because that would have made it much more difficult. But your instinct, must be killing you to say, I want to go down there. But I think they did a good job of saying, please do not drive to the school. It's the worst thing you can do right now. Mm-hmm. So I thought they did a good job of relaying that.
Yep. So it's hard in a show like this, in a podcast like this, to move on from something like that, like to go to the next topic.
Yeah.
Like it's always, even when I watch the news, and today has been, they've done the wall-to-wall news coverage, so they haven't had to do that. But some of those stories you see where they have to like go from one thing and completely switch gears.
Like go over to weather. It's impossible to try and do, and you just have to say, you know what? This doesn't even feel like it's important enough to talk about, but we have to do it, and that's just kind of what happens.
And maybe, if anything, you know, people like listening to like stupid shows like this to get their mind off
exactly
like the realities of some of the horrible things that happen in the world.
Yep.
If you are looking for, you know, like I was mentioning the superintendent of Chardon saying, hey, you know, today would be a good day to tell your kids that you love them. And a lot of times, you know, parents have a tough time connecting, especially with teenagers, because I know I, as a teenager, was not the biggest fan of hanging out with my parents all the time.
Yep, you were into computers.
Exactly. But downtown Cleveland Restaurant Week started today. So going out to dinner with your family might be a good time to bond and talk to them, not have to worry about making dinner, going out somewhere, having somebody else make dinner for you, and really reconnect with your family over the dinner table, which maybe you haven't been able to do in a while.
That's true. Now you're making me think I need to do that with my family.
Yeah. It's a good week to do it. So Downtown Cleveland Restaurant Week started today, and it runs through March 4th. So it runs today, Monday through Sunday, March 4th. There are over 40 restaurants participating. You can go there, and there's a preset menu at these 40 different restaurants. If you go to downtowncleveland.org, there's a link there. We have links on radioshowonline.com as well. But each restaurant has a different set menu. Now, a lot of these you can choose. So there might be a set appetizer and a set dessert, but maybe you can choose between three entrees. Some of them let you choose, you know, between two appetizers, two desserts, two entrees. But in any case, $30 gets you a three-course meal, appetizer, entree, dessert, which is a good deal, because a lot of these places, you know, you wouldn't be able to go there and just get an entree for $30 in some cases.
Right.
So 40 restaurants, over 33 course meals. There are some of the places, not all of them, are also doing $15 lunch specials. So if you want to, you know, maybe if you work downtown during the week and you are looking for some place to go for lunch, most of the places are doing lunch. A couple of places aren't. But if you say to yourself, hey, you know, I've never been to Lola. I worked downtown. Well, Lola's doing a lunch menu. $15 is going to get you lunch at Lola anytime this week. You get a beef cheek pierogi as your appetizer. You get that with their mac and cheese that has roasted chicken and goat cheese. And then for dessert, you get caramelized bacon ice cream, caramelized apples, and maple syrup for only $15 for lunch. That is a good lunch.
That's a great. I'm gonna do that one day this week. That sounds fantastic. And I've been to Lola. Lola's on my list. You may have noticed.
Okay. Yeah. So I wanted to put together, Jeff. I told you, put together your top restaurant picks. There's over 40, but I want to get recommendations of where you think people should go.
Yeah.
For Downtown Cleveland Restaurant Week this week.
I think, you know, Ritz-Carlton, the Muse at Ritz-Carlton. And I just, what a great opportunity, because you're typically, at least for me, typically not going to go to the Ritz-Carlton for a meal.
Right.
Unless there's someone else taking me there, mm-hmm. which hasn't happened yet.
Right. And I am not going to be that person.
You won't be that person.
No.
So I thought, what a great opportunity to have dinner at the Ritz-Carlton, the Muse at the Ritz-Carlton, and just experience that for a night, not worrying about price, where I'd, normally if I was there, I'd be thinking, oh, this is so expensive.
Yeah.
So that to me, like, jumped out.
I did that for Restaurant Week one,
oh, okay.
one year. Yeah, yeah. It's really cool. Thought? It's a really cool restaurant. Yeah. It's an interesting space because you can enter in either from, like, the street level or from Tower City. And then you just walk into the lobby, and then you go up an elevator, and there's, like, another lobby where you get out. So it's kind of a weird setting. Like, you would never pass by unless you were staying at the Ritz-Carlton.
Yeah.
Awesome food. Really... really unique, awesome setting. Yeah, so good call.
And I picked Lola because I've never been to Lola. I've been to Lolita in Tremont probably 50 times.
Oh, you've never been to Lola?
But huh? I just haven't really had the... When I'm down on East 4th, I just feel like I've always ended up at other places for whatever reason. Never specifically gone down to East 4th to go to Lola. So I've got that on my list.
That's definitely, yeah, it's definitely one of those musts. You know, if you come to Cleveland... and you're looking for a
That's
restaurant.
It's like the anchor bar or anchor restaurant in a way down there.
Yeah, it's Michael Simon. All right, so here's his – let me quiz you on this one. So $30 dinner, you can choose – here's your appetizer. You can choose between cauliflower soup with bacon, of course, or the heirloom lettuce salad that's got feta, olives, and oregano vinaigrette.
Ooh, I may go with the cauliflower soup.
Cauliflower soup? Okay, yeah. Okay. Entree, you can do the beef hanger steak. You can do cavatelle that has wild boar ragu, leeks, and parmesan. Or you can do the trout with citrus olives and chilies.
Cavatelle.
Cavatelle. Okay. Dessert, panna cotta. Do you even know what that is?
No.
It's I don't know what that
looks
is.
Looks good,
a
though.
Cake?
I think I'd have it. Everything. All those words look good to me.
Panna cotta or the Napoleon chocolate puff pastry. It's a chocolate puff pastry, an almond puff pastry, and a coconut sorbet. So it's their twist on the Napoleon.
Yeah, the Lola twist. I'm going to go with the panna cotta.
Panna cotta. All right, so there you go. It's that easy, folks.
And my third one is John Q's, because I've been there for brunch on a Sunday for a Browns game, which I've always really enjoyed. But never been there for anything other than a brunch. So what a great opportunity to try it for a dinner, which I would never do. But now with this thing, I think I would.
Yeah. All right, cool. Good choices, good choices.
Thank you.
I would recommend Greenhouse Tavern.
That was going to be on mine, but you said I couldn't copy you.
Yep, that's where I had my rehearsal dinner. And
I don't remember that. I can't remember what that was
yeah,
like.
Yeah, yeah, it was weird. You left halfway through my wedding, though, too, didn't you?
I remember there was a medical situation.
Oh, right. Greenhouse Tavern, they have a vegetarian option for vegetarians out there. They also have their meat option. Jonathan Sawyer always does an awesome job, so check that out. Or that's out right on East 4th Street or on Public Square, Pura Vida. I was just there a couple weeks ago because Jen and I took an Indian cooking class in Tri-C next door, and the head chef at Pura Vida, Brant Evans, led the cooking class with one of the students. So that was really cool. But anyway, go in there. They always have awesome things in there. They have these jars, which is pretty much a layered dip that's like in a mason jar, and you can put it on bread, bruschetta. The menu, if you go to downtowncleveland.org and check out the menu for Pura Vida, you'll see that it changes every day. So it's seven days, and there's a different menu every day. But I'm sure that whatever they have, it's going to be awesome. So recommend checking out Pura Vida. And, of course, Canado at the corner of Prospect and East 4th.
Zach Brule,
yep.
Brule.
One of his five Cleveland restaurants. Now, I was torn because also on the list is Cowell & Hubbard, which is his latest restaurant, East 12th or East 13th in Euclid. So if you're a Zach Brule fan and you haven't been to Cowell & Hubbard yet, that might be a good excuse to go there. But if you haven't been to Canado, I would check out Canado first. That's my rule. But if you've been to Canado, if you've been to La Batro, check out check out Colin Harbor. That's my fourth one that I slipped in there.
I have heard so many good things about Chinato from just several independent people, but I literally have had three people the last couple of weeks say, you've got to sit at the bar there before a like a Cavs game or a Tribe game, just raving about the experience there. So that's going to be a summer place for me.
They do have a they do have a great happy hour, but if you're going there, they got the $30 dinner. You can choose between three appetizers, three entrees, three desserts. I would recommend starting with the roasted butternut squash soup, followed by perhaps their fish or the local vegetable pie. I'm not sure on that entree. There's a hanger steak, but I'm not a big hanger steak guy.
I'm not a hanger steak guy.
Yeah. That's what I just said.
I got to say this, though. This isn't a restaurant week, but Eddie and Eddie, we talked about this last fall. Remember that place in Lakewood, Burgers, Bourbon, and Apple Pie?
Oh, yeah?
Do you remember talking about that?
Yeah, this is it.
It keeps finally, like, it keeps being delayed, but I keep thinking, I wonder if that place is open. And I was at Deegan's a month ago, and I thought, I think it was going to be right around here, and I didn't see a sign even. But spring of 2012, this is coming out.
Is that like the opposite corner? Is that Warren in Detroit?
Warren in Detroit. Yeah, it's like catty corner, like diagonal.
Okay.
But this Eddie and Eddie Burgers, Bourbon, Apple Pie, I'm telling you, this is my type of place, Jeremy.
You like burgers?
Oh, man, all the three of these things.
You like bourbon?
Yep. It's the, like it's the American, like the all-American boy, which is what I've been described as.
So what's the story? Is this a chain? Is this like a new place? Is this
It's Ed Serino. He's got some of the restaurants, some Solon, I guess.
Okay.
He's got a couple, but he's got a pizza place.
Okay.
But this is his kind of a dream he's had to have a place like this. But I love the idea of Burgers, Bourbon, Apple Pie. Eddie and Eddie, maybe, let's say May to be safe, spring 2012. That's going to be a
spring
spot.
2012. So it could even be early June. Depends
how
technical. Yeah,
you probably got to push it back the way it's been going. But I just love the idea of it. And it's right in the corner there. So that was a nice little tangent.
Yeah. Well, I mean, still food related.
That's right.
So check out Downtown Cleveland Restaurant Week this week through Sunday, March 4th, downtowncleveland.org. And then in maybe May, June, to Eddie and Eddie.
It'd be a good place to celebrate the solstice.
It would be.
That's where I'm going to play.
With a bourbon, a burger. Yeah. I mean, your whole meal is planned out for you right
now. Yeah,
I know
done.
Exactly what I'm going to get.
It's a nice thing because there's Cheesecake Factory, you go to those restaurants. That's why I remember when Dan Deegan was talking about what he wanted to do with his restaurant.
Yeah.
And he said, I went to Cheesecake Factory with like the 9-page menu, and I thought, I can't do this.
Right.
Like those places have everything you could possibly imagine. I want a place that has good food with a very concise menu that makes it a little easier, that's also reasonably priced. So that's why the Deegan's model, I think, has worked very well.
Deegan's does have a simple menu, but it's good stuff.
But it's very good stuff.
And he changes it. So
there's
always different things.
But at least you're not having to go through 5 pages of everything. You can't be everything to everyone.
Sometimes I don't like making decisions, Jeff.
Yeah.
To stay on the, before your story on CSU and their basketball team, will they or won't they? I had a note here. I wanted to mention this a couple shows ago, and it kept getting pushed down. So the Cleveland Horseshoe Casino is opening May 14th. They finally ironed all this out, figured it out. May 14th, although I heard that date, and then I read another story a little bit later that said the week of May 14th. Because May 14th is a Monday?
Monday, because my birthday is Friday.
The Friday before?
No, after. So do the math. Oh. So it's got to be a Tuesday.
So is that going to be a birthday celebration for you? That could be a birthday
celebration? The casino won't be involved.
No casino?
My birthday. No.
Not a casino guy?
I am, but I'm not going to. I don't want to be there a lot.
Okay. Where are you going? What are you doing?
Well, I think I'm going to rent out a suite. I've got that suite for the Indians with my family. I got a free suite. I think I'm going to do it. There's a Friday. My birthday's on a Friday, so it's a fireworks night. I think I might just get a suite and bring my family down.
And then maybe stop at the casino.
maybe.
Your mom likes to roll the dice.
She does. Yeah, she's got a big gambling problem.
So they've announced a couple of restaurants that are going to be in there. Now, they're not going to be like a big sit-down restaurant because there's plenty of places around the area to go and eat, such as Lola. But they've announced that Corky and Lenny's, the popular deli from Beachwood, is going to open a downtown location in the casino.
I never thought I'd see Corky and Lenny's on this side of the Cuyahoga River.
I know. Well, it's still on the east side of the river.
Right, barely. It's on the shores.
This is as close.
You're right. Line was so good, too.
This is close as they're going to get, which is good because I like Corky and Lenny's.
I do, too.
You know, and it's maybe on my way to work, grab a sandwich from there, put a couple coins in the slot machine, and that could be a good lunch break for me. Also, Michael Simon has announced his first Cleveland B-spot.
You know, he had to be in the mix on this. You know, he had to be in the mix.
I know. So yeah, the beast spot, they've had a couple of those now. They're now one in,
well, I know the one Eaton Collection we've been to.
There's one in Eaton. We've been there. There's one in, Crocker Park. There's one.
Oh, Strongsville.
Down south.
I've been there.
Strongsville. Yeah. Yep. And now there will be one at the new casino. There's still supposedly, going to be a third one there. There's also going to be a buffet, like a 400 person buffet that you will be able to, from what I hear, access from off the food court as well. So even if you're not going to the casino, you can just from the food court go into this buffet. Which there's no buffets in downtown Cleveland. So I'm not worried about, some people are worried about the casino having too many restaurants and being too much like a bunker. Like people aren't going to go to the Warehouse District or East 4th to eat because there's going to be all these eating options.
No, I totally agree with you. I think that that's just going to be, it'll be a place that's an option, but it's not going to be necessarily a destination. If you want to go out like typical night, get some good food in East 4th, the casino really won't enter into your plans for food. A lot of people go out. The meal is part of the night out.
Yeah.
And I think whereas these restaurants are sort of a bonus of being in the casino, but it's not the destination.
And I think some of the people that are, you know, maybe coming from wherever just to come to the casino, the ones just coming to the casino that are grabbing a burger at B-Spot, if they hadn't done that, I think that they would have just, like, grabbed a burger from, like, Rally's on the way home.
Totally agree, yep.
It's not like, oh, they're not going to go to Lola. So instead, they're going to go to, you know, the B-Spot's going to be stealing Lola's business.
I think it's kind of like the West 25th model where all that traffic just keeps helping everyone. Yeah. It just brings people downtown.
Yep. Just interesting, you know, speaking of that tangent, there was a story recently. So do you remember on West 25th, there used to be a flower shop called Ohio City Blooms. It was like right by Horizontal Books and Nate's Deli and kind of like in that section there. Didn't do very well and closed down. Well, now the guy behind Lago and Gusto and Grotto is opening a new restaurant in that spot, putting about $1 million into it to renovate it because it was a crappy space, but he's getting that space. Now, he is partners with one of the guys in charge of Barley House on West 6th. So Cleveland Scene had an article where they were interviewing Sam McNulty, who owns Beer Market and
Barcento.
Speakeasy, Barcento, and now Market Garden.
Yeah.
And he was saying, I have to actually go to my Twitter page at twitter.com/JBorger to get this exact quote. I tweeted, so the owner of Market Garden, Sam McNulty, said that Barley House is a, quote, drug-addled punch palace.
Wow.
And he was all up in arms because he thinks this new place going into where Ohio City Blooms used to be is going to be like, is going to bring down West 25th.
Yeah.
To which my response was the guy that's in charge of this, that's spearheading it, runs Lago and Gusto and Grotto, not known for being like drug-addled punch palaces.
Yeah, catering to the lowest common denominator.
I think that there's some concern because he's tied in with some, but just because one of the partners also happens to own a place on West 6th that might have a certain reputation, that doesn't mean that this place is going to become that.
People, there have been concerns about when will West 25th turn into West 6th. You've heard that.
Yes, and that's what this article was
going. But not particularly about this bar, just I mean before this. Just the talk in general has been, this is great now, but when's it going to get into a club? It'll be all clubby.
The guy that's Salerno is actually the guy that's setting this up, Fabio Salerno. He said, "Where's the quote?" He says, "Everyone on the street was worried that we were putting in a nightclub. There's a DJ and dance floor and speakeasy under the Beer Market. To me, that's a nightclub. We're not doing that." So I'm like, why is the Scene putting out an article about a place that's not even open with speculation about what it might become from one guy?
Yeah. Slow news day for Scene. Yeah. I mean, that is kind of a strange article. Just pure speculation.
Right. Pure speculation.
And let's just stir the pot. Everyone riled up.
Hasn't even opened yet. But I thought that was such
Mitchell's Ice Cream's headquarters should stabilize that. That's what I'm banking on. That's right. A stabilizing force.
I am looking forward to
it. We all like ice cream.
Exactly. I'm looking forward to Mitchell. I don't know a date on the Mitchell's thing yet.
Not soon enough.
Barley House actually responded to me to my tweet when I said that quote. He said, it could be a she, I guess. Yeah, people say irrational and harsh things when they're scared of competition for Barley House. We're not haters, we're winners.
I like that. That's a positive approach.
So I haven't heard anything from Sam McNulty. I don't think he has responded on his Twitter page or anything about that.
I'll have my annual Barley House trip Saturday visit. It's this one Saturday a year ago down there, Saturday the 10th, for the OU St. Pat's in the Flats party.
Do you get some drugs there?
Yes, that's where I get my drugs. Doing the Malachi run that morning.
Nice.
It's going to be a nice day. Yeah, that's always a nice rite of passage for spring.
Well, what's going on with Cleveland State?
Real quick, since I know we want to get some other things in. They finished strong, Jeremy. They had that five-game dive that really upset everyone in the country. I know a lot of people around the country were following them like I am. And it was very upsetting, but they came out of it with two strong wins to close out the season. Which means those wins enable them to get the 2 seed in the Horizon League tournament, which was a bye to the semifinals. They're going to get, the whole week, they can rest up, get healthy. They play again Saturday, 6 o'clock p.m. at Valparaiso versus to be determined. And if they win that game, TBD is always a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
And if they win that game, they play at 9 o'clock a week from tomorrow, Tuesday, March 6th on ESPN for the Horizon League Championship. So they are one win away from the championship game and then one more win away from the automatic berth to the NCAA tournament. Go Vikes. Still a lot of basketball left, Jeremy.
I'm excited. So how many more games could you potentially go? Are you going out to Valpo or anything?
I thought about it. You know, if it was a little closer, it's a 4.5-hour ride each way. I really did think about it, but that's just a brutal trip for a game to just turn around and come back that night. So I'm not going to, it's on ESPNU, so I can watch it, but no. So theoretically, they could, if Valpo would lose their semifinal game, we would win, it would come back to Cleveland for the final. But also, if they would lose and not win the tournament, they would make the NIT, which is kind of the backup tournament, kind of the consolation bracket, if you will, to the big tournament, which they were in last year, and they'll host a game here like they did last year. So they could still be here in several different scenarios playing another home game.
Okay.
Just depends how it plays out. But they finished very strong, and they're getting healthier. So I am very bullish on the Vikings.
Keep us updated, Jeff. I know
I will.
Keep me updated.
I'll keep you personally updated.
So USA Today has a section called The Pop Traveler, and they recently wrote an article entitled 11 Reasons to Visit Cleveland. This is in usatoday.com. 11 reasons to visit Cleveland. I'm just going to skim through some of these. I'm going to name them, and I want your impression.
Okay, go.
Michael Simon Restaurants.
Visit.
Really? That's all I got? Beachland Ballroom. What do you think about
let me say this about Michael Simon. I really think it is the signature. That's a signature dining experience in Cleveland. I mean, he now has the brand, I feel like, where people come to town, they've heard about him, they know he's got multiple restaurants, and I think he is now the brand right now. So I get that. That's if you're going to go to a restaurant in Cleveland, if you had someone visiting, they had to go to one restaurant or one type of restaurant. Once you say Lola, Lolita, Michael Simon, you got to try a Michael Simon place.
I wouldn't even say Lolita. I would say if you're just in Cleveland and one restaurant, I want to go to Cleveland, I would say Lola.
Lola, yeah. Okay. But so I think he deserves that.
Yeah.
Next one.
Beachland Ballroom.
You know, Beachland is an institution. Honestly, it's been around. You know, there are so many bands that have played there. I think Springsteen. I mean, a lot of people. It's been around so long. A lot of acts have come through that place that have gone on to great things. It's got a really cool historical feel. I think it's a great place to visit and see a show. Totally agree.
And a good Sunday brunch.
Yeah, which I'm still amazed. But yeah, that's a bonus.
Good. It's good. Right here in this neighborhood, and we've had one of the guys from the movie on the show, The Christmas Story House.
Agree. If you're a fan of the movie, it's a must-see.
The West Side Market.
You could speak more to this than me. You use this more than I do.
Celebrating its 100th anniversary this year.
We talked last week or the week before about the celebrations that are going to be happening this year.
It amazes me the people that live in Cleveland, that have grown up in Cleveland, that do not go to the West Side Market.
That's me.
So Jen and I live not too far, so we're like a mile or so away, but we go there at least once a week, sometimes more. And I think that a lot of people are maybe intimidated by it because it's a different way of shopping. But you can go there, and especially in like the produce vegetable aisle, you want to walk down through the vegetable aisle, at least make one sweep through all the produce, you know, go there with a plan, like I need these things. look at the different prices, and you can find the one that has the cheapest price, and then you can get the you can barter with these people. You can still do bartering at the Westside Market, especially in the produce section, especially as we're getting to the time when it's closing. When it's closing time at the Westside Market, you get a lot better deals.
Okay.
There's a great selection of meats there. There's multiple butchers in there. A lot of grocery stores these days are shutting down, you know, their butcher departments. Now at the Westside Market, there's multiple vendors to choose from. These guys know what they're doing. Bread, again, same thing. There's a Mediterranean market inside the Westside Market. It's like a little corner store within there. They have awesome cheeses. Kate's Fish is an awesome place to pick up fresh fish, and they know how to cook it. So if you're like, if you're thinking like, I want to make some sort of fish deal, but I'm not really sure what to do, just go there and they'll talk to you. It's an awesome experience. Even if you're not going to buy anything to like take home, go there and get one of Steve's gyros and just eat it there. Pick up some popcorn from Campbell's Popcorn. It's an awesome experience on a Saturday afternoon. It's a great place to be.
Yeah.
Big Fun.
I'm surprised that made the list. I mean, really? it's a cool store, but I mean, I don't know necessarily that I would say that's a destination of the top 11 places, but it's a cool store.
I think
store.
For the uniqueness, you've been to a lot of cities. Have you been in another store like
that?
No,
I usually don't go do gadget stores like that.
You're more of a McCormick and Schmick type.
Yeah, I like to go to a nice chain. Give me a nice restaurant chain, I'm happy.
You're more of a Toys R Us kind of
yep.
guy.
I mean, it's an interesting place. I guess if you're on Coventry, here's what I would do, Jeremy, if I was USA Today, if I was the entity that is USA Today.
Right.
I would say Coventry. And I know that might be cheating, but I would say that's one of my places. Then in Coventry, you'd have Tommy's, which I think would be above Big Fun for me. I mean, Tommy's is well known.
That's fair.
You know, so that's how I would handle that.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I mean, got to.
Yeah.
Got to put that on there.
Right. I mean, what is
it? I mean, just you literally, you may not want to, but you have to put it on there.
Cedar Lee Theater. See, I'm a big fan of Cedar Lee Theater. Again, you have to be more into those independent movies. Now, if you are just a popcorn movie kind of guy, yeah. You're not.
I like a dramedy is what I like. A nice comedy or drama.
Yeah.
I don't need anything that's too artistic.
I mean, some of the stuff, though, it's. I mean, just because it's artistic doesn't mean. Like, there's some artistic stuff that I do not like. But some stuff is weird and it's good. Film Fest is coming up at the end of March.
I don't like new things, though.
You enjoy the Film Fest.
I do enjoy that. Well, it's because we have Patrick Shepherd in studio to explain it. Right.
To walk, hold your hand, yep. And walk.
Without him and those free passes. Without that, I'm not sure.
Burning River Roller Girls.
I would never have guessed that, but I would like to watch that. Now, there was a time you went that I couldn't go, and I regret that because I would like to see at least once see this.
Yeah, they play. I don't even know. They skate at the Wolstein Arena, the same place where your beloved CSU Vikings. We got about 3 minutes okay. left, Jeff. The place where your beloved CSU Vikings go. Yeah, I'm not really sure when the season starts. I hate to say, but
that's I think for a local person, I would say yeah. But again, I would say someone just coming to town that wouldn't be on my list.
Again, it's something different that you don't. Yeah, normally
wouldn't be
see.
On my list though.
All right, burningriverrollergirls.com. Chuckle fuck.
No, I've seen
comedy
two.
Nights.
I have taken advantage of this, Jeremy. This is something. This is like you have the Westside Market where you're able to lecture me on. The joys of Westside Market.
Lecture away.
I'm going to lecture you. I have seen, they mentioned some acts. I saw Neil Brennan, Nikki Glaser. You can see some great.
Weren't you like hitting on Nikki Glaser? Did you have a Twitter relationship going on
that.
With her?
Okay. Two sides to that. All right. She would say no, I would say yes. Here's the thing with Chucklefuck. I mean, it's a great, great venue. It's in the Battery Park area down there. So it's a really small venue. Redstone, the upstairs of Redstone is where I've seen the venue for this thing. So you get to see these great comics. And it was explained to me when I talked to Ramon and Nikki once that, you know, when these comics are doing these weekend swings in bigger cities, they've got downtime middle of the week. So they'll come and do a Redstone on a Wednesday for a much lower rate for a smaller crowd. Yeah. So I think Chucklefuck found a real nice niche of that type of act at a unique days, discount prices, smaller crowds. Quality acts. So I like what they're doing. I get it.
I haven't been able to go yet. So I should go. They're tomorrow they're going to be at the, and they're like a traveling show. They do different locations. Tomorrow, February 28th, they are at the Grog Shop at 7:30. I don't know if I'm going to make that show. Then March 6th, they're at... Doesn't say.
There's one at the Grog Shop after that. Go down like the 9th. I'm going to be out of town, but it looked like a good one. Neil Brennan. I saw him. Oh, it's the 13th. I'm sorry.
Actually, anyway, I want to go to one. You go to these. Let me know.
I'm gonna this Neil Brennan one is one to mark down. The 13th. That'll
okay.
be good.
Okay, I want to check that out. Number 10 on this list from USA Today, the Pop Traveler, 11 reasons to visit Cleveland. Number 10, Stadium Mustard.
Totally agree. If you love Stadium Mustard, and I grew up with it like you probably did,
yeah.
Stadium Mustard is fantastic. And the fact you can't get it other places makes you realize how lucky we are to have it here.
I do love Stadium Mustard. And then finally, I was surprised that this was on the list.
Smash that bottle over the head.
Number 11, Machine Gun Kelly, rapper Machine Gun Kelly.
I tell you, he's getting big. He really is.
We have we've played his song Cleveland. We've done the didn't we do a music penetration, I believe, with the Cleveland song. We sometimes introduce our show with that song. He got in trouble for starting a flash mob in South Park. I think he's a good rapper. I mean, I do. I am kind of a Machine Gun Kelly fan.
I am too. I really do. I like it. So, and he always represents Cleveland.
He does represent. And again, I think he's getting too big though to ever be on this show.
Yeah,
kind of makes me sad.
Yeah, I think once he had that Strongsville Mall thing, he separated from us.
Yep,
that got him on the radar.
Well, 46 minutes, Jeff.
We did it.
We like to keep the show right around 45, although we're not doing live anymore, so we kind of have that leeway to do whatever. We can go for another hour if you'd like.
Did you notice last night, real quick, Christian Bale at the Academy Awards? Wow, Billy Crystal said, "Don't get in his line." Remember, he's like, "That was pretty funny." That thing will stay with him forever.
That'll
catch
Christian
on. Bale explosion.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thanks for listening, everyone. This is, again, Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy. You can catch all our past episodes at radioshowonline.com. From there, you can listen to us on Stitcher from your smartphone or your computer, fan us on Facebook, and then please email us and just anything. Love notes to Jeff. Yep. You know, any questions or comments, ridicule. If you just want to make fun of us, we're fine with that.
Yeah, we'll acknowledge it and we'll write back.
And we'll promptly diss you on air. But hate mail at radioshowonline.com. Thanks for listening. We'll be back sometime next week.
See you next time.